Well, tonight we're going to be in Titus chapter 2, so if you want to turn there. I was going to go back to the beginning of chapter 2, but I think I'll start a little farther in. But it's basically one of the titles in my Bible says the qualities of a sound church. I thought, ooh, okay. But it's talking about what you were to teach and share with the older men, older women, and younger men and younger women, and just how you're supposed to share with people, how you're supposed to teach people and mentor people, and I got to reading through this earlier in the week, and it really wasn't on my radar, you might say, for tonight. But as I began to pray about it and look over it and study it, and take notes on it, it began to be kind of where God showed me that maybe I should be. So I'm going to start in verse 6. And again, it follows on with what I was saying, that he's telling him how to share with each one. He says, "Likewise, exhort the young man to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. As he's talking, and he's saying, this is what your speech, this is what your life needs to be like. You are to be sober-minded and in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, you know, I try to do good works. I try to do what God wants me to do. But so many times I find myself, in my mind, I'm doing some good works, and then I go for a while where I don't know that I've done anything special. And then maybe I'll do something else that would fall into that category. And a word jumped out at me as I'm looking at this. And it says, you're to be a pattern of good works. Now, when I was growing up, my grandma had 8 children, and she would get extra material and make their clothes, and she would have patterns laying all over this one room in the back corner of her house. And she would, these patterns were, I don't know how long she had had them, but she had had them forever. She had used them so many times with the little straight pins in there, to the point where she had actually had to put other paper behind the actual patterns and put straight pins. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've seen those or maybe even used those at some point. And I'm thinking, man, that was a very important pattern to her because she had kept it all those years. She had used it so many times. And I think about that being a pattern. That was what the material was measured up to. And then I think about my life and doing good works here and maybe doing some good works there, doing something that falls into that category here or there. I'm thinking, you know, if one of those patterns of my grandma's would have just been, say, if it was a shirt, if it didn't have a sleeve, you know, the sleeve just over here somewhere. And then there's nothing for a while, and then here's another sleeve pattern. It's not going to work out. The pattern has to be steady. And I think about how our lives should be. Well, I noticed something, you know, the something positive in Steve's life now, but, you know, I've been around him a lot before, and it's not been, I've not really noticed anything standing out. I've not really noticed something positive, and so it's not much of a pattern. You know, a pattern is something that needs to be ongoing and that people can look at and know what to be measured up to. And so it tells us, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, as showing integrity. In other words, we are to be a person of integrity when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the things that God tells us in the Bible. I need to be a person of integrity, showing integrity to those around me in what the Bible states. Now, I'm not just going to pick and choose this verse to preach and then that verse to preach and this verse to live and that verse to ignore. And don't bring up that one because somebody might get upset. If I'm going to be a man of integrity, if you're going to be a person of integrity, then you need to show that pattern of integrity all the time. You need to understand what God is telling you through the Bible, and you need to show that to those that are watching. That pattern is there for other people to follow. We are supposed to be that pattern that the Bible shows us how to live. We're supposed to be that pattern for others to see. In reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. We can get in discussions with people and sometimes they will, well, I don't know, and they want to start an argument. Well, I don't know what you believe, I don't know what you understand, but this is what the Bible says. And there's nothing corruptible in there. There's nothing that they can argue about there. I mean, they can, but it's not going to do them any good. But that sound speech, that our sound speech can't be condemned. And even the person that is against us may be ashamed not having anything to say about us. If we live our lives and we just say, you know, you don't want to agree with me, but yet this is what the Bible says, then they can't really disagree with me. They can disagree with the Bible. As long as I stay in line with what God tells me through His Word, then even those that are an opponent, those that are against me, if they're going to say something, it says here, they may be ashamed not having anything to say because I'm standing on God's Word. It goes on, it says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, it's talking about how a person is supposed to relate to someone over them. And if you're talking about the things that you've received by God, and that's what it's going to get into in these main verses tonight, he's telling people how they're supposed to respond, how they're supposed to teach these things, how they're supposed to be a pattern. And then in 11, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Man, that passage right there is so much. And I'm preaching this morning, and God had brought me back, like you heard, that it's from not the thorn, it's about the grace. And as I say that, this verse pops into my mind. It's like, man, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Because for the grace of God that brings salvation, that grace was actually Jesus. That gift of God was grace through Jesus Christ that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Now, there are people out there that want to take that verse right there and say, see, everybody's going to be saved. Everybody's going to have the grace of God. Because the grace of God brings salvation and has appeared to all men. So everybody has the grace of God. Everybody's going to be saved is what some people want to say. But that's not what that verse says. Jesus Christ, the grace of God, brings salvation. He has truly appeared to all people. He has made grace available to all people. But that doesn't mean all people have received that grace. People miss that. And when we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ was that gift that we didn't deserve, He brought salvation to everybody. He made it possible for everybody. Well, it's not possible for everybody to be saved. Well, according to that verse, yes, it is. And he goes on, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, That grace that is given to us, it teaches us, salvation teaches us, if we stay in the Word, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The salvation that we have is salvation from the penalty of sin. That grace gives us freedom from the penalty of our sin. When we accept Christ, then we are freed from the penalty of our sin through that salvation. But then it also goes, and that same grace that was affordable to all men then gives us the power over that same sin. Now, I still am going to make mistakes. I'm still going to sin even after I'm a Christian. But the problem is, or the thing that we need to understand is some people don't realize that the power of sin is broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been freed from the penalty of it, and it should no longer have power in our lives. It shouldn't be there to have power over us. And that's what he's saying. It says that grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live different. Because we're no longer under that power. There are so many people that I know you've talked to people, I've talked to people, and they have the understanding that, well, if I'm freed from the penalty of sin, then I can live however I want to. And that's not the way the book's written. But that's what they want to say. That's what they want to think is, well, if God's grace covers me from that penalty of sin, then I can just go ahead and do whatever I want. I am in that, and Ken was talking tonight in Bible study. He said this one thought's been on his heart for quite a while, and he shared with it. And I say that just because this one thought's been on my mind kind of the same way. There are so many people that want to have the idea that because grace has covered me, I am free to live however I want. And that seems like it's pretty extreme. And yeah, there are some people out there that just say, well, the grace of God has covered me. I can live however I want. And we would all agree that those people are misinformed. They have not read the Bible for what it says. But the scary part is there are also those people that I am under grace and I know I'm still going to sin, but I'm not going to be mastered by it. I'm just going to let it be there. Now, the Bible tells us not to be mastered by sin, not to be controlled by sin. And they get the idea that as long as they think they're in control, then they're okay. But anytime you and I think that we can live with sin in our life, unconfessed sin in our life, and it not control us, then it's already got control. And there are so many people that come into church doors every day all over the world that want to take the gift of God's grace. And Romans tells us twice, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, they actually thought this was their mentality. And this is, maybe I went over this before, because like I said, it's been on my heart for a long time. They believed at that time, you know, God's grace covers me when I sin. So if I sin this much, God's grace is going to cover me. But if I sin this much, God's grace is going to cover me. Look how much more grace is being shown by God. That must be okay. Look how many more people can see the grace of God cover up my mistakes. So it must be, they actually thought it would be okay to go ahead and have the temple prostitutes and all the things that they would do, because every time I make a mistake, then that just gives God another chance to show off His grace. And that sounds silly to us. But there are people today that have that same attitude, thinking, I know I'm saved, and so therefore I can go ahead and live the lifestyle I want. They want to take the the understanding of when God gives you eternal life, you have eternal life. And no one can snatch that from your hands. Eternal salvation is eternal. But the problem is they may not have understood what true salvation is. They may have just heard about the good parts and not the part where you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And if I think, well, it's okay for me to do this, I'm not hurting anybody, then it's all about you, and it's never all about you. So, we are freed from the penalty of sin, and we understand that we're freed from the power of sin, that it no longer has reign in my life. Something is going to have a reign in your life. It's going to be God, or it's going to be Satan. Now, you can color everything in between however you want. But that's the two that are fighting for control of your life. And God's not going to fight you for it. He's going to offer you grace for it. He desires you to be His child. But it comes down to somebody is going to be ruling your life. If it's not God, and you think it might be you, then that's really Satan. So we're freed from that power. We do not have to let Him have that power in our life. That's what verse 12 is saying. It teaches us, the grace of God teaches us to deny all those things because we don't have to live with that. He says we should live soberly. To live soberly is to understand in yourself your self-restraint, your understanding of who is in control. And so it's relating to you. When it says to live soberly, it means to live in control of yourself. If I'm intoxicated, then I am not in control. And so that's kind of what this is talking about. If you are to live soberly, that means that you are to be self-restrained, self-disciplined by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit. We should live soberly, in control, in that way. We are to live righteously, and that is in a just relationship to our neighbor. This is talking, the soberly is I live with self-control based on the gift that God has given me, the blessing He's given me. To live righteously, I'm dealing with those people around me. I live in such a way that I'm in right standing with God, that I'm treating other people the way God would want me to, justly in that relationship. And then it says, and godly in this present age. Godly or in a relationship with God that's a love relationship towards God. And so if I'm living a self-controlled life because of God, if I'm living a righteous life towards other people because of the righteousness Jesus Christ has given me, and I'm living a just life before God, that can only happen by grace. There is nothing you and I can do to live soberly, righteously, or godly in this present age apart from the grace of God. There is no way. You don't have the power. I don't have the power to live that way. And so that grace that is bestowed appeared possible for all men makes it possible for us to live that way, even in this present age. We know, and we use that excuse all the time, well, look at the garbage we have to put up with. How many times have we said something like that? I can't watch Andy Griffith on TV because the commercial that comes on has two men walking down the aisle getting married. Or, I can't watch a football game because all they want to show are the cheerleaders that have nothing on. We can talk about, man, how do we live in this garbage-filled present age? That God's got to understand it's so much harder for us because of the age we live in. Well, a long time ago, when this was penned, he said, through the grace of God, you can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. in that present age, they had prostitutes in the temples. It's about as bad as it gets. They were in a very, very bad time. And like I said this morning, no matter how bad the time gets, God's grace is sufficient for us. But we do that living by grace, that we're not under the penalty of it, we're not under the power of it. We shouldn't live in the presence of it either, of that sin. And the way we conquer that, to live in this present age, is verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, I can focus on this present age and all the garbage that we have to put up with. And every time you sit down somewhere, somebody's mouth is overflowing with filth, and you just, you know, it just makes you cringe. How do we live in this present age? By the grace of God only. But the thing that helps us is looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God. Not just of God. Man, when we're going through this life, we need to live our life. We need to live every day with the anticipation, with the hope of the fact that today is going to be the day that God cracks that eastern sky and takes me home. Because yes, I see this present age around me, but He's going to take that away. And there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. And I look for that blessed hope. I look for that appearing. And so where's my focus? It's not on the present age. Because of the grace of God, I can look towards that hope. Now, there are people out there that can't look towards that blessed hope because they've never accepted that grace that was available to all men. In verse 14, it says something here that I know a lot of times has been overlooked by a lot of people. It says, we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And the gospel. Right there in that verse. What's all about. He gave Himself for us. So it's not about us. It's about the gift of grace. He gave Himself for us. We know that. People will say, yeah, I've heard that Jesus died for my sins. I know I need to ask Him for forgiveness. I'm just not ready to do that yet. Or, I know God has forgiven me of my sins, and I know I'm not perfect, and I still make mistakes. And yeah, there's probably some unconfessed sin in my life that I'm having trouble getting rid of. Verse 14, it says, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. To redeem us is to pay a price to get somebody out of bondage so that they would be redeemed. He paid the price to get me out of sinful bondage so that He might redeem me from every lawless deed. He didn't redeem me so that I could still live in that stuff. He didn't redeem me so I could go on my merry way and live my life the way I want to. He redeemed us from every lawless deed and purified for Himself. So He redeemed me and purified me by the blood of Jesus Christ, not for me, for Himself. So many times we want to take the idea, the thought, well, He redeemed me so that I could, if anything follows this, but I could honor and glorify Him, then you're wrong. That's why He redeemed us. He redeemed us for Himself. He purified us for a reason, for Himself, so that He could have His own special people. We are His. He redeemed us He purified us for Himself so that His own special people would be zealous for good works. Well, He redeemed me, and so I'm trying to do the best I can. That doesn't sound very zealous. We're going to close right there. Because the good works it's talking about, I want to be excited about everything I can do for God. I want to glorify Him however I can. I want to honor Him however I can. And for those of you that know me, I'm looking for every way I can to spend more time praising God. I'm trying to learn the keyboard or the piano. I even picked up a harmonica the other day and looked up online how you can learn to play gospel hymns on the harmonica. So one of these days, you're going to be freaked out when I break out the harmonica in here. And it has nothing to do with, oh, look at the pastor, he's learning all these songs. No, I want to be zealous about glorifying God however I can. Because that's what He's put on my heart. We have been given the grace of God. And it's been given to all men, and there are so many out there that don't want to take advantage of it. I want it. I want that freedom from the penalty of sin by grace. I want that freedom from the power by grace. I want that freedom from the presence of that stuff in my life because of grace. I want to be zealous to glorify my God and Savior. But I say all of that to let you know that I'm not there. I want to be, but I'm not. Grace is there that does all these things that we just talked about tonight. Acknowledge what grace has done for you, and you will be zealous for God to allow Him to do good works through you. Now, there's nothing I can do. I cannot do good works on my own. But as we talked about, I think it was last week, the good works He does through us can only be done when we surrender to Him. So this week, go out there and be zealous for Him. Allow His grace, because He redeemed you. He purified you for Himself, not for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity to just open it up. And Lord, the things that You show me, the things that You teach me, the way that You tell me I need to change. Father, use Your Word to glorify Yourself. May it bring honor and glory back to You in everything that we do. Lord, may we live our lives in this present age through the grace of God. In Your name I pray. Amen.